A new episode and a new perspective on today's episode of The Changeover. Coming up,
a spreadsheet cannot give you the turnaround time that you need to be relevant in today's market. We think that data is the value, and we're sitting on these mounds of data, and we think they have a lot of value, but the truth is, data has no value. Insight has a ton of value. And so how do you get from a mountain of data to insight that matters? Anybody who's been in leadership knows what got you to where you are probably isn't going to get you to where you need to be. A return on investment is also peace of mind. The ability to make decisions based on data rather than your gut, that has value. The ROI is not always a dollar sign, but if a CEO can make decisions based on what the data is saying, it can take a huge load off of them.
Welcome back to The Changeover. I'm your host, Frank Iska. Today's episode starts with a bold idea. Data unification isn't really about data. It's about people. And if you've ever tried to get a manufacturing team to change a workflow, adopt a new system, or stop using that sacred Excel sheet from 2008, you already know that's true. We're unpacking why the hardest part of unifying data isn't the integrations, it's the human behavior that surrounds them. Joining me is Eric Henry of Simplified Data Solutions. Eric's unique combination of technical expertise, business strategy, and organizational leadership makes him an invaluable guide for companies seeking to turn data into fuel for growth. Well, Eric, hey, thanks for being on The Changeover today. Really looking forward to this conversation and getting your perspective. And I know from your standpoint, you're used to how do we harvest insights from this data from an operational standpoint, an efficiency and ROI standpoint. We come at it also from an ROI standpoint, but how do we tap into that from a sales and marketing strategy, campaigns, personalization, really for this age of AI and be able to do that at scale, you got to have good data. So talking with you, I got excited. Our team got excited about the possibilities of how we could bring both of these aspects to life to support those in the manufacturing space.
Yeah, actually, I think that's something that got me super excited as we were talking is, you know, I live sort of in the operations world for the most part, you know, looking for ways to find efficiencies or thinking about friction in business processes and how we can simplify that. And I hadn't worked with anybody on the marketing side of things. What does it mean to take this data and get it ready for you guys to do what you do and to take what you do to a new level?
Absolutely. So yeah, today's topic is really going to focus on leadership and how they can tap into this data from a growth standpoint to accelerate their growth and further leverage this gold mine, this asset that they have. So you've said before, this problem, it's not a technology problem. It's really a people problem when you think about manufacturers having this wealth of information and not knowing how to tap into that. So if you can speak to that aspect, that it's not a technology problem, it's a people problem.
Yeah, I think that's true. I would say it's both. But what we think that data is a technology problem. And of course, there are systems and there are things that we can do to unify data, and you know, systems are kind of out of line and that kind of a thing. But the reality is that is the easy part of data transformation. I mean, if I'm living in sort of a manufacturing plant that has been doing the same thing for the last 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years, there's a culture of, hey, this is how we do what we do. And the idea that we can just throw some kind of technical fix at it that will give you all the data that you want. I mean, people are trying to do it. They are. I mean, there's SaaS products out there, so software as a service products that will tell you, hey, just you know, buy our product and it'll fix all of your data problems. And then manufacturer after manufacturer choose a new ERP or whatever it is that they're finding, and they realize that it's not just plug and play. It's not just, hey, I'm going to pay some money and it's going to fix all of our data problems, because the reality is that the most difficult part of data transformation is actual change management. It is understanding that the culture of your business, especially wherever data lives in your business, the culture of your business has to change. And people don't like change, as we all know.
Exactly. And I would say these technology providers, the ERP providers, the CRMs, they're good at building software. They don't excel at managing the change for an organization, the change management aspect. That's where you come into play. So that's an important aspect that, to your point, you can't just invest in these tools and ways to connect different platforms if you don't get to the root of change of behaviors and getting people bought in on, okay, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
So that's an important aspect to touch on today.
That is it. I mean, so the reality is everybody needs an ERP. I don't build an ERP, but an ERP is only as good as the use that you're getting out of it, as the way that your every individual in your organization is interacting with that ERP. We're sitting on these mounds of data and we think they have a lot of value, but the truth is data has no value. Insight has a ton of value. And so how do you get from a mountain of data to insight that matters?
So when you first started working with manufacturers, what were some common misconceptions or assumptions they had about fixing the data? You know, they thought that they had a data issue or technology problem.
20 years ago, we were sold a bill of goods. And what they said was, data is going to be super important. Collect everything. And so we did. We put a million sensors on everything. We used our PLC or whatever you're using to get your things done in an automated way. And we collected all that data and we've just been storing it and building it. And it's this now become this huge mound of data, some of which is useful and we are using. But for the most part, we were just told, collect it. And now we're in this place where we want to get ready for AI. I mean, what would it look like if we actually had our data in a place that our marketing people could take it and run with it? Because again, data is only as useful as the insight that it brings. And so when one of the things I think that I've been running into is that a CEO or a CTO of a manufacturing company will say, you know, I've got all this data we're sitting on. It's a gold mine. And it might be, but it's not a gold mine until it's tapped into. You know, a gold mine, it isn't anything until somebody goes and pulls the gold out. And so so that's what I think is missing in a lot of people's minds, is that there's a whole structure to what it takes to actually mine the gold out of your data.
So what's driving urgency now versus 5 years ago? What is it that's creating this urgency, this spark that people want to finally crack the code on tapping into their data?
I'm sure there are a lot of things that are sort of coming together and in this moment, but it's so clear that the obvious one is AI. I mean, everybody in business knows that the world is changing. And as the world changes, I have to either keep up or I'm going to get left behind, or maybe I can find a way to get out in front in the world of AI. But here's the reality. Anybody who steps even a toe into the question about AI learns very quickly that AI is all about data, that AI lives on to even the big dogs. I mean, what they are trying to get from all of us is more and more data, because that's how it's built. And so, but it's not just any kind of data. It's not mounds of unstructured data. It's data that has a purpose. It's data that is structured. It's data that is connected, which is the most important stuff, because in the end, data, when we talk about insight, what we're really talking about is data in context. I usually try to tell people that insight is equal to data plus context. The problem is most of our data is not put into a context. And that context is all the other systems of the business, the systems for finance and the systems for manufacturing and the MES and the ERP and the sales and accounts receivable and all the rest of the things that are all living in different systems or, let's be honest, for a lot of manufacturers in an Excel spreadsheet somewhere on Jerry's computer that nobody else has access to, you know, that there's a lot of that going on. And until and unless we can integrate, or we use the term unify, data unification, as if we can integrate your data, that is what gives it context, and data plus context equals insight.
Absolutely. So we're very aligned with HubSpot as a Diamond HubSpot partner, and they've been talking about this concept of unified data for the last 2 years or more. And really what gets exciting there is if you have the right data and a way to tap into that, and it's in a unified format, the ways you can personalize and tailor certain marketing messages and campaigns with real context based on what you have in your ERP. So knowing if a customer, they've bought product X in the past, but they haven't purchased in the last 6 months, that could be information that feeds into a campaign to re-engage them to purchase that product again. And that's just one example. You think about sales outreach and past context from sales notes and how that integrates with past purchase behavior and history. So there's a lot of kind of endless scenarios if there's ways to tap into this in a unified way. So that from our standpoint, as we move into more contextual and personalized campaigns at scale, you got to have a way to tap into these insights that live in this data.
You know, as we've had these conversations, I just got so excited about the possibilities of what an integrated sort of ERP and CRM together that are actually doing work. HubSpot understanding what's happening in the business and creating both data-driven, which is super important, but also real-time, because understanding what's going on. I mean, this wasn't my idea, but in one of our conversations, somebody said, hey, what about if we could find out where a manufacturer might have an excess, a glut of supply of something? And hey, maybe that's an integration with the ERP that helps us understand, hey, maybe we should be pushing this, or maybe we should create a sale, or you know, whatever it is that a marketing team would do with that. But understanding the current state of the business, so that not only data driven, but time sensitive and hyper personalized marketing can be brought to bear in ways that maybe is brand new to all of us.
Yeah. And the thing now with more modern technology, the use of AI, this doesn't have to be this astronomical price tag to get these things put together. And maybe in the past, that was something that hindered manufacturers as, we just don't have the budget to connect systems. The platforms that are out there now that can help integrate different platforms and the affordability around that. So going back on data unification and continue to dig in there, when data unification fails, what is the biggest non-technology reason that happens?
There's a lot of them. But what we have to remember is that technology is only as helpful as it is to the user. And so when Judy down in payroll has been working with her same workflow for, 11 years, and she is very comfortable coming to work and doing her thing. And then somebody from the C-suite walks in and says, hey, we're going to change all of this because we want to unify data. The reality is Judy doesn't care about unified data. Judy cares about her job and what it's going to take. And listen, that doesn't make Judy bad, because it's also not just Judy's. It's also Jim's and Jerry's and all the rest of us. The change management part of this has to be a part of the strategy from the very, very beginning. That's why when I work with a company, I always tell them if the CEO isn't not just on board, but a huge part of the process, I don't take them as a client because it's not going to work. It's funny, the CEO is super important. He or she is the one who is going to set the tone for everything. But what really matters is that that person's leadership team then buys in because the CEO buys in, and that each department head buys in because the leadership team buys in. And all of this has to do with how and when you bring people in to the process before it's just done and given to them, rather than just throwing a piece of technology over the top of a culture that already exists.
Yep. And we see the same thing when asking an organization to invest a larger marketing spend that they have in the past. If they're serious about their growth, we need that CEO in the room, that president in the room, to get their buy-in and commitment. And that signals to the team, specifically the marketing and sales team and others involved, that, we're doing this and we're going to be dedicated and follow the process. But giving them an opportunity to maybe raise their concerns, get their questions asked, I'm sure that's what you deal with as well. Kind of flipping to that, if you talk about your discovery process and what you typically uncover there as far as hesitations and how you work through those.
One of the most important parts of our discovery process is internal interviews. I try to spend time with every one of our clients and as many different people on as many different levels as I can. And I'll ask my point of contact, and I'll say, make sure you give me some of the people you think are going to be the most resistant to change. I want to know the Jerry's who like his spreadsheet. You know, I want to know the people who are, when you bring out a new idea, they can tell you all the reasons why it's a bad idea. I want to talk to them because I want to understand. At the same time, we know that that change management is about leading people all over the change curve. You know, we've got the early adopters; those we don't worry about. But there is a chunk at the end, at the tail of that curve, that can be a struggle. And if we can get them involved in the process early, sometimes we can really help move the process forward. You know, we do have this incredible moment where everybody is finally understanding the impact that AI is going to have or is already having on every kind of industry, but manufacturing in particular. And so all of these leaders are both excited about it and honestly petrified of it, because if we can't figure out in my company how to harness what we can, how to take what we've got and turn it into something that gives us a competitive edge, then we're going to be left behind because everybody else is figuring this out. Here's one plus is that this is going to sound like bad news, but MIT just put out a study that said that 95 out of 100 new AI projects fail. That is an incredible number. It means everybody's trying and a lot of us are failing. And the question is, why are these things failing? And the reality is, all of these leaders are saying, here is AI. AI is not going anywhere. AI is the future of what we have to do. I don't know how to do it. But what I really want is somebody who can help me hold my hand, figure it out as it goes. What most of us don't understand is that clean, unified data is the foundation. It's a prerequisite to doing anything with AI. That we think that we're just going to bring AI to bear on our industry just from the outside, and we're just going to lay it on top of it. But the reality is AI grows up from a fertile ground that is data. and unified data and data in context and data that is producing insight. That is where AI grows in a way that beats the 95% odds and says, number one, we are building it on a framework of unified clean data. And number two, we care about the people that are going to actually use this and the systems that need to change alongside it.
So the reality is the majority of manufacturers that we've worked with in the past or currently work with, this is one of the biggest pain points, is this ERP to CRM integration. And that's assuming they use a CRM. It's not uncommon that we start talking to a new client and they've been able to grow pretty aggressively without a specific CRM, a use of a centralized spreadsheet or different ways that they're managing their growth. And it's pretty staggering to understand, like, well, how have you done this without a true system? And then when they start to understand what they're missing out on, and then if you had the two platforms connected, an ERP and CRM, what that can mean as far as specific growth strategies and tapping into purchase history, tapping into, I think we touched on this earlier in our discussion, certain inventory or maybe capacity that's available on the team that you normally wouldn't know this, but that's where having that unified data and then tapping into it from an AI standpoint, you can get a lot of great insights to drive activities and specific strategies and campaigns. That's one angle. And then if you have this data to tap into and you think about from a personalization standpoint, this is the new marketing game, marketing and sales game is personalization at scale. And the way you have to do that is you have to have the data in a format and in a way that you can tap into that to then personalize your messaging and your outreach. It's not scalable to do that manually. And just think, if you're trying to scour spreadsheets and look at different systems, you can't do it at a certain efficiency. It needs to be done at a quick rate, very efficiently, at scale. So that's the reality of what we're moving into, is having more connected systems. And a great place to start is that ERP to CRM, assuming you have those platforms in place.
I think that is the beauty of sort of computer generated models and AI models. And but I also think, you know, going back to what you were talking about with the way that businesses have scaled using, you know, sort of these maybe outdated Excel spreadsheets or whatever, but they've figured it out. And the reality is, as we all know, anybody who's been in leadership knows, what got you to where you are probably isn't going to get you to where you need to be. And so that's a really important question. It's how do we move from the spreadsheet, because it goes back to people. Somebody owns that spreadsheet. Somebody owns it. It's like, please do not call my baby ugly if you want to move my spreadsheet, you know, because this has been such a part, not just of what I do, but of my identity in this company. And so when we sort of take those things out of the hands of one or two people who control it, sometimes that can be really tough, but it can give access to people who are actual decision makers quickly. And coming back to what you were talking about, turnaround time is everything.
Oh, yeah. It's huge.
A spreadsheet cannot give you the turnaround time that you need to be relevant in today's market. That's just all there is to it. It's just you can't physically communicate well enough with each other in leadership in a quick enough way if you're not integrated and unified with your data. It's just not going to happen.
So as manufacturers are evaluating, committing to resources and budget around data unification, and I talked about this before, that doesn't have to be this huge investment anymore with modern technology, but how do they evaluate the ROI or potential ROI to help them make this decision? And then, you know, to evaluate, was it successful? Did we get a return on that investment?
Yeah, the ROI question is actually sort of brand new because most of this technology was out of the just not even in the world of most sort of mid-market manufacturers. It just cost too much money. But recently, with all of the new technology that's come with AI introduced and all of the software that lives around AI now, honestly, all of those costs have dropped. And so you can really start to think about ROI when it comes to AI, and not just AI, but also data itself. And so so I think about ROI really in two buckets on the data side. I think of it in terms of how do we help ease some friction. So there are systems in your manufacturing business that are not functioning well, that there's friction in them, that there's double entering of data, or there is a report that doesn't really ever get run, but really should be run. Or you have somebody who is manually entering something that should 100% be automated. That happens all the time. There are lots of points of friction in every manufacturing plant. On the other side, you have the opportunities that you can end up freeing up space. If you have a better planning in terms of your resources, if you can do a better job with your scheduling for your teams, and if you can up your capacity based on automated systems and intelligent data, then you can give yourself opportunities for a higher bottom line, better output, you know, all of those things. So we have the friction side of things. We have the opportunity side of things. And let's be honest, the actual ROI is a little squishy. I like the word squishy on this because you have efficiency that has been saved. It's hard to measure that always, depending on what it is. Sometimes when it's about capacity, you can measure that really well. And I'm sure that this is a lot like what it is for you guys in marketing, that you invest over time in this and you see the ROI sort of as a whole, rather than I did this project that gave me this outcome exactly. But I'm sure in marketing there's a whole lot more. Hey, we're building this thing that is better, and it will take you to a place that is better. And maybe we can do some measuring of the whole. But you have to believe that all of it is pushing you in the right direction.
Well, yeah, and that's spot on. What we look at with a bigger marketing program that takes a while to get off the ground. There's a strategy phase and an implementation before you start to see results. But there's leading indicators and lagging indicators. And I have to think, from a data unification standpoint, you're going to have some of those leading indicators. Right. And then, okay, what are the lagging things that we anticipate mm-hmm. will happen from an ROI standpoint? So I think they're hand in hand as far as a technology implementation, unifying data, and then also rolling that into your marketing and sales strategies.
Yeah, I love that. You know, one of the things that I do with my clients is I want us to be super upfront about ROI. Are there processes that are costing you money? That's what we do in the discovery process. Are there things that are costing you money right now that automation can save you money? If there are, then how much is it costing you? How much is it going to cost to automate that process? And how long is it going to take to get that paid back? And what's the ROI? And usually we think in 18 to 24 months. So we think, and our goal usually is 6 to 8x ROI within 24 months. Now, that's not always the case. Almost always, if we think that it's less than 4x in 24 months, it's not worth it. And here's the reason why. Everything changes too quickly. If you can't see real value that is going to happen relatively quickly, things change so fast that a project that is only going to get you 2x ROI in 2 years, it's just not worth it. Because in 2 years, the world is going to be different.
In 2 months, the world's going to be different, let alone 2 years, right? You know, so Yeah, right? that's the rate of that things are changing right now. So for manufacturers out there listening to this, and those in a leadership role, what are 2 to 3 things that they should act on after listening to this conversation, this episode, to get this ball moving in this area of data unification?
I love this question because I think, I just love talking data with people. And so for me, I always tell them, listen, there's a lot that you can do without my help. If the person that I'm talking to lives in the world of leading people, and maybe they're not a technology genius and don't really understand how all of the systems work, I would put together a little task force that includes people leaders and technology people in your company. And I would look through, I would just say, hey, we're going to take an hour twice in 2 weeks. And we are going to look through every one of our business systems, and we're going to try to find friction points. I'm going to ask them, let's put a number on what that's costing us every week, month, year, just because it's important. That's the very first place to start, because if you're not finding any places that are costing you money, don't invest. And then I would spend an hour talking about opportunities. What could we do? What are the ideas that we could do in terms of our data that would give us, maybe it's squishy ROI, but that would give us some kind of a return? And so, and, you know, I'll say this too. A return on investment is also peace of mind and the ability to make decisions based on data rather than your gut. That has value. The ROI is not always a dollar sign, but if a CEO or a COO can make decisions based on what the data is saying, it can take a huge load off of them. And so just thinking through the opportunities for what unified data could actually help them with, that's the next thing that I would suggest. How would a unified data with real-time dashboards that actually give us the information that we want, what would that be worth to us?
Absolutely. And I have to think this is a learned skill and something that takes practice. Just because you all of a sudden have unified your data, you're not going to be this expert at tapping into it. It's just like buying a gym membership. You're not going to figure out your workout routine until you start going to the gym for a couple of months. So I have to think, once you have this unified data, you start to learn, okay, here's all the possibilities and ways that we're going to start to leverage that.
Yes.
And glean insights and dashboards that we now have. That's not going to be an overnight thing when they consider ROI. I would imagine that takes some time to learn that new skill now that they have these tools at their fingertips.
Absolutely. So that's the first thing I would have them do. The second thing I would have them do is to make an inventory, a data inventory. This is good to have, and almost nobody has it. Somewhere in your organization, you need to have a list of every place that data lives in your organization. And if it's in somebody's spreadsheet, just say it's in Jerry's spreadsheet on his laptop. But every piece of data that matters to your business, where does it live? Does it live in the ERP? Do you have a CRM? Is it in a payroll thing that you run separate from your ERP? You know, there are a million places that data lives in each one of these companies, and I would suggest that you list all of the places, and then you say where it lives and who has access to it. That's really important. And then the third thing is there any insight that can be gleaned from it, or is it just data for the sake of data?
Eric, this has been an eye-opening conversation. Really appreciate your perspective around this topic of data unification and really thinking beyond just the tech stack and the technical aspect, but the people that are behind these decisions and driving real change.
You know, I've really enjoyed getting to know you guys. Your whole team is fantastic. I've learned more from you than I have in a while. And most importantly, I appreciate what you guys are trying to do and the sort of fun and direct and honest way that you go about it.
Hey, we appreciate that. Some exciting things ahead as far as collaboration and how we can help manufacturers out there that are looking to take this next step in their journey of really tapping into their data and scaling with AI, using that as a foundation, and having that feed into how they approach their marketing and sales efforts. So yeah, we'll continue the conversation. Thanks again for being on the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for joining us on the Changeover Podcast. Remember to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, Wired.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. Let us know what you'd like to hear about next time by messaging Wired Group on social media. Thanks for listening.